Welcome to Asia Briefing Marketing Moments podcast series. I'm Sophie Smith, Marketing Assistant at Asia Briefing. We are a publishing and research firm which produces business intelligence and market insight for foreign investors looking to establish their business in Asia. We have decided to put together this series in the hope of answering some of your questions about how to better market your company. The heart of your business success lies in its marketing. Most aspects of your business depend on successful marketing. The overall marketing umbrella covers advertising, public relations, promotions, and sales. In this first episode of Marketing Moments, we'll be looking at the difference between traditional marketing and content marketing. Today with me, we have Jonas Jukola and Nick Clement. Welcome, guys. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, guys. My name is Nick Clement, and I'm the Associate Director of Marketing and Operations for Asia Briefing and Design Shira. Jonas?
Hi, guys. My name is Jonas Yukra, and I'm the Digital Marketing Associate in Design Shira and Associates and Asia Briefing.
So this is our first episode of Marketing Moments as a podcast we're putting together, as Sophie mentioned, just to look at how companies market their business, look at how content marketing and traditional marketing sort of interplay with each other. In this first episode, we're going to be talking a lot about how content marketing interacts with traditional marketing. Are they mutually exclusive? Are they two separate strategy? Are they one big strategy that falls underneath the marketing umbrella?
So Nick, if you just want to start us off by maybe explaining a little bit about what sort of strategies are used in traditional marketing.
Yeah, so I mean, traditional marketing is really a broad category that incorporates many forms of advertising and marketing. It's what people generally think of marketing. We're looking at advertisements, we're looking at building person-to-person relations.
So what sort of strategies do you use?
So traditionally, marketing, you're looking at broadcast marketing, you're looking at print marketing, heavy use of paid advertisements, heavy use of creating valuable person-to-person relationships, event marketing.
So it's more your daily things, you know, what you see on TV, what you see on billboards, people approaching you.
Yes, it's a lot more interruptive. People try and stick advertisements in your face. They push certain messages, certain agendas right at you in the hopes that it'll grab your attention and provide you some sort of added value which will make them call you up, which will make them get in touch with you to buy or connect with whatever service or product that you're looking to sell.
So Jonas, if you just want to explain a little bit about content marketing and, you know, actually, I mean, why Asia Briefing uses it, and a lot of companies are moving towards this.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think, like, content marketing is a new thing. It's been there since the dawn of times, I would say. I mean, originally, there would have been just one salesperson with a lot of charisma and a good story. Content marketing is all about the story. So if you can deliver the story that your company wants to tell to its clients or potential clients, it makes it much easier to sell to them.
I think it becomes more relatable. You're looking at kind of more specifically how does that relate to the individual person.
Yeah, it's all about delivering valuable content and valuable resources for your target audience, your target clients. And that's really in the hope to drive profitable consumer action. Especially, I think, for, say, professional services firms, content marketing is quite effective, as it's easy to provide a lot of added value on your service, on the industry that you're in, on the country and region that you're operating in, to not only promote your brand, but to also promote your expertise. And this all, you know, looks to throw the audience into a sales funnel, which will see them one day make some sort of profitable action. If you're releasing a lot of content about a really technical service, if you're releasing content about a certain industry which you're operating in, if ever that person or that audience, they require some service, they require a product, the goal is that they're going to think of you straight away. And that's through the valuable content that you're providing them.
And one good thing about it for professional services firms is that the knowledge is there already. The experts know about the topics, and then for the content marketing, you just have to find a way to deliver a part of that knowledge to the world. So that makes it kind of easier than, you know, if you're running a grocery store, for example, and the way to market it is, for example, a traditional push marketing through advertising. the owner of the grocery store doesn't necessarily know anything about marketing. But when we're talking about like doing content marketing, we already have the knowledge inside the firm, and then we just have to find the right ways to deliver it.
So, Yanis, in your time, you know, doing marketing, have you come across any pitfalls or any difficulties with traditional marketing, I guess, that would, I mean, is an indicator for why we're moving towards more content marketing these days?
Well, this is not just a traditional versus content marketing thing. It's also a little bit related to a bigger scale of moving to more towards digital marketing. But the ways we currently push our content is usually through digital channels. And the good thing about those digital channels is that they are trackable. We can analyze, you know, what kind of content our clientele will respond well, and then we can, you know, use that to create the kind of content that's actually valuable. But we don't have to guess as much, because we can get the data to prove our hypothesis.
Okay, that's great. Nick?
So today's topic is traditional marketing versus content marketing. These two different forms of marketing aren't mutually exclusive, at least in my opinion. Traditional marketing and content marketing, they're really two sides of the same coin. I don't really see one existing apart from the other. They're more just different strategies that businesses can use to, you know, drive profit, drive revenue. Now, there's definitely advantages and disadvantages to using both kinds, but I don't think you should use one in total exclusion to the other. You need to find the right balance for your specific company, for the budget that you have, and for the goals that you're setting. I think one thing that content marketing sort of lacks in some cases is that sort of personal connection. It's not always easy to make a personal connection using content marketing compared to something like, say, event marketing, when you're meeting persons face-to-face, you're shaking their hand, you're making a personal connection, right? Content marketing can't always do that. But content marketing can lead to traditional marketing in that sense. You release a guide, you release some articles, you release some sort of thought leadership piece, which can then be seen to be promoted through an event, through event marketing, which leads to this more personal connections. I think an integrated strategy is always going to be the best strategy, and you'd never want to use one to the exclusion of the other.
But I think content marketing, I mean, the point with it is that it becomes more targeted towards a group.
It's more targeted towards certain groups, but that's more along the lines of just more accurately running your marketing campaign, more targeting the specific segment that you actually want to purchase your service or your products. And that's where content marketing is quite useful compared to, say, traditional marketing, where you might put up a massive billboard somewhere, you might put an advertisement somewhere. That's casting a wider net, and people aren't always going to be engaging with your advertisement compared to content marketing, where you're putting out a specific bit of content targeting a specific kind of person, which only a specific kind of people are going to read, and they're the people who are going to buy your services, they're going to buy your product. And that's probably a big reason why content marketing is so effective. Generating leads through content marketing is really the end of what people are trying to accomplish. You can target people using content at multiple stages of their sort of lead development, whether it's someone who's just, say, moving into a certain region, moving into a certain industry. You're able to provide more entry-level content. Then also, as that lead develops, as you target a different sort of segment of your audience, you can provide something that's a lot more segmented, a lot more targeted, and will only be useful or relevant for people who are, you know, right about to purchase your service or purchase your product. So targeting specific segments with content marketing is really why it can be a lot more effective than traditional marketing.
Yanis, do you think content marketing is, I guess, going to take over traditional marketing strategies?
Well, like Nick mentioned before, the best way to do it is to mix these two things. Obviously, if your company isn't doing that, it's going to affect your results. I mean, your competitor is giving something that people find valuable, and you're not. The question is then, okay, how do people know what your company is doing? How do they know that you're actually a legit company that knows what it's talking about? So I think content marketing is here to stay, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think, especially for, say, professional services firms, content marketing is so good because it allows you to educate the market about your expertise, about your specialization.
Do you think that, budget-wise, are more companies budgeting for content marketing? Is it more expensive?
Well, like I mentioned before, many times the knowledge is already there in the company. Like, the content is there. You just have to write it down, or you have to
it in a podcast. And it's not easy to say, put a blanket answer on something like that. I think it depends specifically on what kind of company it is, what kind of product or service are they offering, what industry are they in, and really how big they are. As Yona said, I think in many cases the company will already have a lot of expertise or insight that they can write down and they can turn into some sort of content marketing piece. But that's not going to be the case with every company. If you're selling shoes, I mean, how hard is it to run a content marketing strategy relating to shoes, right?
Well, that depends. I mean, obviously it depends what kind of shoe company you are.
Exactly.
If you have like a very, very specific niche, you might just need one very good piece of content. Let's talk about like a small company. You create a very specific piece of content and you share it online. And when people download the content, they have to give their contact information. Well, what do you know here? You know that this person was interested on that niche that you're actually providing the service or a product. So great, you know that. Another thing, they had to provide at least their email address. Usually you can add like more fields on your form, so you know their name. You might know their geographical location. Great. Now you know if you can actually target them. So then you just, you know, you start building a database of leads where you know that they are already interested, at least somewhat, on the things you're offering, and you know their contact information. So you can just start building from there, adding like a different pieces of content, you know, tracking them down, their activities
on your
web presence, and evaluating the leads from that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about lead nurturing, right? So these people who you put into your database, these people who actually interact with your content for the first time, they're probably not going to be buying your service or buying your product. But if they do, say, download some sort of report or some sort of guide, or they subscribe to your newsletter, even if they just read your article, they're going to be aware of what you're doing, and if they're in your database, you're going to be able to contact them over an extended period of time. That allowed you to nurture that lead, allowed you to educate them, allowed you to push to them a lot more information about your company, what you can provide, and look to provide them a lot more valuable content. And that just helps to push them through the sales funnel a bit harder, a bit faster, in the hope that one day they are going to make some sort of profitable consumer action, whether that is calling you up and saying, hey, I have this business problem, can you help me out with it? Or they, you know, this shoe company finally gets that awesome customer who buys their big brand shoes, and they make money.
All right. Well, I think that's about all we have time for today. Thank you for joining me, Nick Clement and Jonas Jakara.